Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us, to call in, and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Altshuler. I'm usually along here with my praying partner, Dr. Anton Raimondo, but because with the radio, we can't call in and speak on the with us on the radio, which he usually calls in. It's just myself today, so certainly need your prayers. We miss Anton, and we'll start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you and adore you. Lord Jesus, pray today that you may send down your most Holy Spirit upon myself and Patrick and Maureen and Mary, so that we may be open to your most perfect will. We pray, Lord, that for any of our listeners, you may give us the words through your Spirit to touch them, and for any of our callers who call in for prayer requests, we pray, Lord, that you may touch them. Lord Jesus, we thank you, and thank you for allowing us the gift of this In His Sign Radio Ministry. In Christ's name we pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Well, first of all, for this usually day of prayer, the phone numbers, if any of you have any prayer requests to call in, and you can leave them with Maureen or Mary, the number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. We have some prayer requests, and we also have some announcements about some upcoming retreats in which Kathleen McCarthy, the president of InnoSign Network, is involved in. So we thank you very much for that, and probably I think we'll start out with some of the announcements, just so I get them out of the way, and I'll get caught up with praying and prayer requests and speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll forget to say that. So, first of all, we have on April the 20th annual Divine Mercy Retreat, April 10th to the 12th at the Malvern Retreat House, and our own Kathleen McCarthy will be there. It says, come join the 20th anniversary retreat. Focus on growing trust in God's infinite mercy this great filled weekend. Bishop Efren Esmilla will be there, Reverend Stephen DeLacy, and our own Kathleen McCarthy. For more information, you can go to learn about, let's see, how do we register here? Get in touch with the Malvern Retreat House. You can Google malvernretreat.com and do that. Also, on April 18th from 8 to 4:30 p.m., that's the 10th Annual Divine Mercy Family Healing Retreat in Piscataway, New Jersey. The theme of it is Hope, the Answer to Suffering, and it'll be our own Kathleen McCarthy, as well as some other very good renowned speakers. Registration deadlines March 30th. Register early, and you can get in touch with that. It'll be held at Our Lady of Fatima Church Auditorium in Piscataway, New Jersey. And finally, I'm glad I'm getting these out early because I know I would forget to do them. Is the Sunday, April 26th, is the annual Wake Up America dinner. It's from 1:30 to 5:30 at the Malvern Retreat House, 315 South Warren Avenue, Malvern, PA. Kathleen McCarthy will be there. And I love here where it says about Kathleen. Sometimes the listeners, I need to refresh all she's done. But she's a published author, international Catholic lay evangelist, and president of InnerSign Radio Network. Spanning more than four decades, Kathleen's ministry has produced countless stories of healing through the power of the Holy Spirit. She's a renowned conference speaker, retreat master, broadcaster, and more. Through her gift of storytelling and prayer, Kathleen shares the fire of Jesus' Eucharistic heart and the message of God's merciful love. So, Kathleen, to give a keynote address, you'll be able to meet our radio broadcasters. There's a silent auction and drawings for raffle prizes. Costs $60 a person, $110 per couple, or $450 for a table of eight. And you can get in touch and register with the InnerSign Catholic Radio Network. The phone number is the same number you can call here, is 610-527-2906. So 610-527-2906. And I'm glad that we got those. The message is done. Always like to have at least one of the readings to start off with a reading, just to get us tuned into the main person in our lives, Jesus Christ. And this third Sunday of Lent is quite a reading. I'll read the Holy Gospel reading, and we'll go from there. So it's a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. My lips and my heart. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying I don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have is now not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I've done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. From here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves. For we know that this is truly the Savior of the world," the gospel of the Lord. Well, that's quite a long gospel, and it's so fascinating. But one of the main things that seems to come to me is when Jesus said to the woman, a Samaritan woman, who really was a woman probably not socially accepted by the community. She was at the well by herself. But Jesus says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give him will never thirst. The water I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Which shows the water from Jesus is a special water. It looks like regular water, but it's a spiritually filled water. And with that, sorry, I'm a little tangled up. With that water, getting to know Jesus, we have the chance for eternal life. Now, eternal life is a long time, and that's each of our goal here on earth, is to reach heaven at the end of our earthly lives. And everybody, each of you know, or that I know, or I will know, will live a finite number of days on this earth. But on these days, let's be open to the Spirit of the Holy Spirit and get to know Jesus, so that at the end of our earthly life, whenever that might be, he won't be a stranger to us. And it'll be the greatest greeting we could ever have when we, the end of our earthly life, and we come face to face with Jesus, and he takes us into eternal life in heaven, which would be so very awesome. Now, that's the whole thing, and we've begun Lent. I want to talk a little bit about Lent, but I want to go to the first reading for this third Sunday in Lent. Usually we start with the first, go to second, the third, but we did the gospel reading, speaking about, and Jesus will give her this water that you will never thirst. Now the first reading is a reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, 3-7. In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? A little more and they'll stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink. This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" Now, we had a men's group. We meet every Friday morning, and during the we read this reading this morning, and you know, I thought about to the group and asked out loud, for the water that, and each of us, we kind of look at the Jewish people saying, how could they complain all the time? They were just given manna and quail to eat, and now they needed water, and they're complaining to God about not having water. But God did answer their prayers, and the water he gave them, was that not holy water? I asked a group today, I was just thinking to myself, a thought just occurred to me. Would we call the water that God gave to the Israelites in Massah and Meribah holy water? I would think it has to be holy water. It was made and blessed by God, our Heavenly Father. Now, I want to go to the second reading. There's a method to what I'm saying here as they do it, because sometimes you wonder about the readings of the weekend. Do they all tie together? And so we had the gospel reading, which he talked about the water, which can give us eternal life, that spiritual thing in Christ. The first reading was God giving water to the Israelites. And second reading is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For Christ, while we were helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just purpose, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it seems like Paul is saying to the Romans, you have hope, because Jesus died for us, and he told us, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. And thinking about that, can we see hope? Can we feel hope? We can be hopeful, but can we see hope? Hope is an intangible. It lets us rise our eyes higher to God and believe that he is with us and will answer our prayers in his perfect timing. But hope, we can't see that. And the water that God created for the Jews in the desert was holy water. We couldn't see that holiness in the water, but if God created it, it had to be holy. And the woman at the well, she was asking, give me some of this living water. She just saw water as no water out of a well, but the water from Christ was living water. And that living water, is it not the same as the living water that each of us, when we go into the church, to the font, or the water in which we are baptized in, is that not holy water too? And is it all not tied in with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? And then the priest, during each Mass, before the consecration, when they are, I've got to look for the notes nice friend of mine, Ted, had sent me a note this morning. What the priest says when he's pouring the water into the wine in the early part of the Mass, he says, "By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity." So that symbol almost of the water and the wine combining is similar to Jesus, how he combines himself into the water to make it holy, wine, which will end up being his blood, and all do that. So I've kind of got a different outlook on water, but the difference between regular water and holy water, which is what the woman said in the Holy Gospel, he goes back and he said, Jesus said to her, I'll repeat again, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give him will never thirst. The water I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And that Spirit of God for each of us who believes, who believes in Jesus, who, if we're blessed with this gift of faith, somehow comes to us, whether through reading or whatever it is, or it can be nourished by some of our Lenten practices, get stronger. That's the water, the spring of faith, that our faith in Jesus Christ, that allows us the opportunity to have eternal life in heaven with Jesus. And getting back to the original thing, isn't that what we were created for? To be one with God, as the original thing in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were with God before they created the first sin or cast out. It was Jesus, through what he did, and this Lenten time period is the best time to really appreciate what Jesus did for us, that he may had to die and give up his life as a sacrificial lamb so that we may have a vessel, a vehicle to get to heaven, because otherwise none of us stood a chance. So what I started out in the gospel reading and talking about the story, I kind of want to now speak about Lent and to give each of our listeners, you listeners, just a thought about Lent and looking at Lent from a different perspective. But before that, I want to repeat again, if any of you have any prayer requests, you can call and leave them with Maureen or Mary. You can call 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. So, in coming upon this Lenten period, for some reason this Lent, I always looked at Lent as a kind of time where I'm giving up things, I'm this and that. It's kind of a hard thing. I never really looked forward to it because I knew I'd be giving up some things. It'd be kind of uncomfortable. I would look at the cross and not look at it, but upon prayer and reflection, when I look at a crucifix and I see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the crucifix, that's the greatest sign of love that anyone could ever do. Because he went through all that pain and suffering and he humbled himself, who he could have destroyed everyone around him at the time. But he humbled himself to be the sacrificial lamb for you and for me, so that if we believe in him and allow him into our lives, we will have this abundant, rich life in us, certainly on our life on earth, but most importantly, our eternal life in heaven. And when I look at the crucifixes during this Lenten period, and understanding that the whole Lenten period is coming up to Good Friday. And I always think Good Friday was just such a tough, difficult day. You see that, you see Jesus do that. But by witnessing that and being with them, can each of us not be like, can we imitate the Blessed Mother and St. Mary Magdalene and St. John? And can we cling to that cross with love for Jesus on the cross and not try to turn our heads or put our hands up and say, no, that's too hard for me. That's too uncomfortable to me. Think about that. I don't want to be part of that. But when we bridge that, we can ask ourselves, and I suggest each of you to ask yourselves in prayer on your own. Pray about it. In your current spiritual life, if you were there at the crucifixion right at this moment, would you be turning your head and not looking there? Or would you be running to the foot of the cross and trying to pray for our dying Jesus on the cross? And that is love. He has such love for us, we did it. But we have the capacity to love him. And it's an interior conversion of our hearts. Not something we're going to get exterior. So I want to do a prayer right now, and that's what I love about this show. It takes a while, but this InnoSign Radio ministry, we have the ability to the chance to speak about our faith, our Catholic faith, our love for Jesus Christ, our love for the Blessed Mother. We have a chance to talk about that. And Kathleen's so open, she continually allowed me to come on the air, which sometimes I wonder, is she sure about this? But it's coming to me to pray for all of our listeners right now for this prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, I pray from the bottom of my heart that each of our listeners who can listen to this or maybe listen to a recording on Facebook or whatever it might be, Lord, I pray that from this moment on through the rest of Lent, we can grow closer to a true love of you and a true understanding that you died for us on the cross. And rather than running away from the crosses in our lives, we face those crosses knowing you're with us and you're with us through your love. We pray, Lord, that we may grow in a love of the cross, the crucifixion of the cross, knowing that you had to go through this. You did it for us, and it was such love. We pray, Lord, that each of us can look at the view that Mary Magdalene had, or John had, or Blessed Mother had, looking up at you on the cross, and they had such love and empathy for you. We pray, Lord, that each of our listeners, including myself, can be touched by your most Holy Spirit right now and increase in our deep love and appreciation for what you did. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. And we will now go to a short break, and we'll be right back.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to InnoSign Radio Ministry since 1990 and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone. After the brief commercial announcements, back again. I'm Mike Altshuler, and this is the People's Day of Prayer. And we're kind of going on different topics today, all centered on Jesus Christ, which it should be, and our love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I want to, because there's prayer requests, the phone lines are certainly open. You can't just come on the air. There's something wrong with one of the things, but you can leave a message on the phone by speaking with Mary or Maureen. The phone number is 610-527-2906. If you have any questions or comments you'd like to say, please feel free to do that. It's 610-527-2906. We had a prayer request for Bill, who's got some upcoming surgery. So we'll say a prayer for Bill and all those. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for Bill, who's got this upcoming surgery. We're not sure what it is, but you know what it's for, Lord. And in addition to Bill, we pray for any of our listeners or any of our listeners' family or friends that are going to be having upcoming surgery. Lord, we pray that they may have the peace of mind knowing that you will be there through the doctor's and the nurse's hands through this surgery. We pray, Lord, that you will give each of the Bill and any of the listeners who are having upcoming surgery the peace of mind and soul, knowing that their lives are in your hands, and to be at peace about that. Your perfect will be done, and your will, generally, you want us to be healthy so that we can help others and do that. So we pray, Lord, that Bill and those who are having surgery will have successful surgeries and to be at peace through that. In Christ's name we pray, amen. And we had also a prayer request for Elizabeth's 70-year-old sister-in-law who recently was in a car accident and fractured her neck. Boy, I used to think 70 years old was old. Now that I'm 72, 70 seems kind of young. So we pray for Elizabeth's young sister-in-law, 70-year-old sister-in-law. The reason was a car accident and fractured her neck. Pray, Lord, that she may have healing and that her neck will heal and that she will be able to get on with her life in a way that is not restrictive. But we pray, Lord, that whatever happens with it, your most Holy Spirit will touch her and give her peace and let her know she is never alone in her suffering and her pain as she's going through the rehabilitation, knowing that you're always there with her, Lord. And we praise you and thank you in advance. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So the phone lines are open, certainly. Number is 610-527-2906. Now, I wanted to make a comment about this past weekend. I went up, and I've been there a number of times, to the Man Up Philly conference in Philadelphia. It was at Cardinal O'Hara High School last Saturday. Eustace Mita, boy, he's start everything. He's the MC. He's just awesome. He's such an upbeat, positive guy. And always gets a great group of speakers. This year they had Mark Forrest, who's an Irish tenor, who just plays beautiful music. And they had a 1 hour, it seemed like an hour, of adoration of Blessed Sacrament. And if you could imagine 1,400 guys being in the auditorium at Cardinal O'Hara High School and all in adoration for our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a miracle in itself, and it was so beautiful. And Mark is a wonderful singer, and he just guides through some prayerful music and stories, and he's really awesome. But as a matter of fact, Mark Forrest will be at St. Joseph's Church in Downingtown this upcoming Sunday night. Bear with me here. I want to make sure the date is Sunday. I think it's the 8th. Sunday, March 8th at 7 p.m. at St. Joseph's Church in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. It's free to go in. You can just make a donation offering if you wish. Also, the speaker was Kevin Riley, who had a great story about an ex-Philadelphia Eagle and Boston Patriot football player. He lost his shoulder and arm with a very aggressive cancer, and he just tells a story about how he got through all this and how down it was and how hard it was and how he ended up, one of the things got him some extra strength. We got a call from Rocky Blyer, the old Pittsburgh Steelers football player, who gave him a pep talk, who had gone through a difficult time himself. And then Kevin had gone out to be a very successful businessman and a true evangelist. He had a great faith. And then there's Chris Gazins, who's the president and CEO of Wawa. And it was kind of neat. Everybody feels like Wawa is part of them. You feel like you're part of the Wawa family. It was neat seeing the fella in charge of this Wawa. And he really had the servant attitude. You could see the way he talked about things and the way probably most of you see how the Wawa employees are. It's really a servant attitude. It's a great thing for me to observe and see that. And isn't it true that each of us, through Jesus Christ, through us, we can have a servant attitude toward others and help others and do what we can for others. So it was very fascinating that Father McKay, who a lot of you know, he gave some great inspirational talks and is really positive. So that's a once-a-year thing for guys. I'm sorry for the women. Maybe there'll be a Women Up Philly. Maybe they should have one of them or something like that. But for 1,400 guys, and I know Patrick, our engineer, was there, and it's really good. It's really uplifting, and I think it's kind of neat to see that in the Philadelphia Archdiocese, there's 1,400 men who took the time out to go on this retreat, and there probably had to be about 40 or 50 priests were there to give confessions. So it was a great day of the sacraments, and it was a good time, a good Lenten program for that. So that's it for some of those thought programs for that. But for any of your listeners still who wish to call in for any comments or prayer requests, the phone number is 610-527-2906. So 610-527-2906. Now, I'd like to get back to talking about Lent as we're in our Lenten journey. We have about another month more to go till the Lenten season is over. We'll have Holy Week. We'll have the Lord's Supper Mass on the Thursday night, Good Friday, then the Vigil Mass Saturday, then Easter Sunday. And it's an awesome time of year for that. But for a lot of the listeners, and it's kind of come upon me in prayer as I'm here during this time period, is for this Lent, open your hearts. Ask the Lord to help you understand what it was like for him to have to prepare himself and try to prepare his apostles and disciples for his death, and that they would have the faith in him and from what he taught them to continue this faith, as he says, until the end of time. And when we go to Mass each week, or daily Mass if you're fortunate enough to do that, we get that wonderful opportunity to encounter Jesus in that very personal way. And it's almost like it is where he is present in the Eucharist in that very personal way to each of us. And I think part of us, the challenge is opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit of God and to live each day and each hour as if it's our last day on earth. When we go to Mass, sometimes I don't think there's a meter knowing that each of us get. What's the meter? What's the level of our faith as we're at this Mass? Are we living the Mass when we're at the Mass? But I just want to offer some thoughts for our listeners to pray about and think about as we go that. When each of us go to Mass, certainly we want to prepare ourselves. And I've noticed that myself in the last year or so, I develop a thirst in the morning before the Mass, a real thirst to receive Jesus Christ. I long for him. I thirst for him. And then in coming into the church or chapel or what it might be, you know, there's usually holy water. Do we make that sign of prayer? And let us think about the water I talked about, the water in this weekend's reading, the that's holy water. That's water that was blessed by a priest who, through holy orders, you could trans back all the way through to Jesus. But that water is holy water. And we make that, when we bless ourselves, do we just go through that quick, fast motion, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Or do we really think about, we're making a sign of the cross to remember that resurrection, to remember Jesus, that personal thing. And then when we get into the chapel or mass, we try to pray to keep open to what's happening, because we have the liturgy of the word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. And the liturgy of the word, are we listening to the readings? Are we trying to meditate on them? Because the word can be alive. And this isn't just like reading a novel when they're doing the readings, one from the Old Testament, one from the Psalms, one from the New Testament, and then the gospel reading. It's not like reading a novel. It's reading a book of life. What they say Bible stands for, basic instructions before leaving earth. Well, they really are. And as if you get a chance, it's great to read them ahead of time before you get to Mass. But if you're not to Mass, pray to the Holy Spirit that you'll be able to hear the readings, listen to them, and let them form on you. And then, so you can certainly pray for that, because we are a living spirit and we love God in us. He wants to speak to us through our hearts and touch us. And the readings will mean different things to each of us in our lifetime, the times, or each of the people that are there at church. But it's a personal reading from the words from God touching our heart. And then afterwards, we'll receive a sermon, and your Mass can't, you can't, sometimes people go, ah, the Mass went good, the priest gave a lousy homily, it was so-so, you know. But the point is, by the time the priest is giving the homily, we've already heard enough readings and words and thoughts that the Holy Spirit's working with us to do things. And what I would ask, a suggestion would be for each of you, you know, when you come to the church and you kneel down and pray for your, for, you know, for Mass starts and everything, pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you, that you'll really be touched during this Mass, that the readings will become like live words to your heart. And with that, pray that you'll have the peace of mind to be able to focus on the readings and not be distracted with what's bothering you or the attitude. You came into church with an attitude. You had an argument with your husband or wife, or the kids are driving you crazy. You're having problems at work. Once you come into the church, and once you receive through the sign of the cross with the holy water, you're entering into a holy area. And that's an opportunity to prepare your body, soul, and mind for a deeper encounter with God. And it's a blessing that we can do it. There's countries in the world you can't go to Mass. So now with the Mass, you've heard the word of God, you listen to the priest give a homily, and you make a certainly profession of faith. There's intercessions for all, and sometimes when there's intercessions, my mind's daydreaming. I need to pay more attention to the intercessions they're asking for. And that concludes, and then that's the ministry, the liturgy of the word. Then preparing and this thirst. Mary mentioned to you all that pray about that you receive a thirst to receive Jesus. Well, at that time, you'll see from the back of the church people will bring up the bread and the wine as a presentation, hand them to the priest, and then they will come to the altar as the liturgy of the Eucharist has begun. And I pray that you can listen to the words of the priest as he's going through the Eucharistic prayers. They're really deep and meaningful, and you really have to pray. You know, say a prayer to St. Michael, the Archangel, to give you that peace and not to allow distractions to do that. Because it's such a fascinating time if you listen to the words and what's happening. And then at the consecration by the priest, and there's a couple Eucharistic prayers, but the one a lot of priests seem to use, and allow your most Holy Spirit to descend upon these gifts and become the body and blood of Christ. At that time, pray that the Holy Spirit, that you're on high alert, because at that time, this invisible, spiritual, amazing thing happens. That bread and wine, through the priest's holy orders, and that prayer at that consecration, at that point, it becomes the body and blood of Christ. And for the last 4 or 5 years, I've been blessed to be aware when that consecration happens, that at every Mass since it started, when I saw it, I'll be aware and see with the eyes of my heart. I'll see the Blessed Mother at that consecration appear, and she's at the priest's right hand. So if the priest is facing, if I'm the priest facing the crowd, it'd be on my right hand. The Blessed Mother's there, and right next to her is Saint Joseph. At every Mass, she'll appear as different: Our Lady of Knock, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Sorrows, whatever it might be, Our Lady of Medjugorje. But I think more than anything, that's, I've been allowed to be aware of that and see that, to realize, yo, this has really happened. This is awesome. When that priest does it, it's real. It's not a symbol. It's Jesus Christ. And that host will turns into at that consecration, Jesus Christ. So now, all of us at that point in the Mass, we're on high alert, and try to visualize the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph kneeling in adoration at Jesus. And it's awesome. It gives you that total reverence of what's up there. Sometimes they'll be aware of angels. Sometimes there'll be another saint on the other side of the priest. But at every Mass, they've been there. Now, it probably doesn't help me being a blockhead to say, yo, pay attention. This is really heaven on earth happening right there. So then, at that point, then the prayer, everybody gets up and says the Lord's Prayer. And many of you, if you were like me, you would then say the Lord's Prayer, but your mind's drifting in different areas. And probably 2 years ago, I was looking up, and I ended up looking at the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph at the time. And during that prayer, their eyes are up to heaven. And I'm thinking, well, if they can do that, I should certainly do that. So from now on, from that point on, when that prayer is done, my eyes are up to heaven. And what that allows me to do is to understand the Our Father prayer is a personal prayer between each of us and God our Father, the prayer Jesus taught us. And I really suggest your listeners to try that and visualize that. Allow the spiritual magnificence to come to play in the thing. Send an FDR, Father, sign of peace, and you're down. And then you're preparing yourself. Each of us are preparing ourselves to receive Jesus, the actual Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in his body, or if you have both species, the body and blood. And then after you receive Jesus, which is the most amazing gift any of us can ever have, go back to your pew and say a private prayer. You know, a prayer I've been taught is, Jesus, I've consumed you, and you consume me. Speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. And I'll usually get a message from Jesus or the Blessed Mother or one of the saints, something to kind of even make me more aware of, yo, you've got the body of Christ in you, and it kind of gives me a little closeness. And it gives all of us to realize that, because if people could see, if you could see with the rays of faith what happens, it's like everyone has the X-rays coming out of them, because we've consumed Jesus in his body and blood. And then we go forth, and then the Mass ends. We're thankful, and we go forth out into the world. But I didn't plan on going through the Mass, and I'm not a theologian. I'm just a regular blockhead who the Holy Spirit spoken to in a pretty strong way and allowed me to do it. But I hope if any of the suggestions or things that I mentioned, to let this Mass become more alive to you. If it even only one person to happen, then praise be to God. And thank goodness with this radio ministry, we have the opportunity to speak about faith, to speak about our Lord, and what a great blessing that is, that it can be. So, we talked about Lent. We talked about the crucifix. Talked about Mass, the Eucharist, and now, my wonderful listeners, it's all in your hands. And I'll end with a prayer to prepare each of you and myself for the rest of the days of our lives and the rest of this Lent. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for being our Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that each of us can become closer to you during this Lent, can look at you and the cross as just a sign of your love for us, and not to be turned our heads, how could that happen, but to see the sign as your love and knowing that you're with us. And we pray, Lord, when we go receive you in the Mass, and some of you who haven't been at Mass for a long time don't understand it, perhaps even if some of the words you heard today might be a trigger for you to say, hey, I want to try some of that. I want some of that living water. I want that thirst. We pray, Lord, that you could touch our listeners all to come closer to you, so that each of our brothers and sisters can all attend their heavenly reward. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. God bless you all, and we'll talk to you again. Bye now.